I'm laughing.
Why?
Because this music is on the commercials now for the retirement home.
Welcome back.
I need some new music.
Too committed to Christ, Greg and Kelly.
Sound familiar?
And Dexter with you. It is so true. We were standing in the kitchen one Sunday morning, and your dad had the
TV on,
and he was gone, and I heard our podcast music, and I thought, what in the world is
podcast,
that?
Right?
And it was the background music for a retirement community. I thought, oh, no.
We need new music.
Oh, no. But this when I look at the stats on our podcast, most of our audience is in that retirement age bracket. We don't have a lot of teens and 20-somethings listening. So maybe the music is appropriate. I don't know. So,
well, we need to get those teens and 20s in there. They need Jesus.
I guess so. Well, welcome back, everyone. Our first podcast of 2024. We have missed you. Yes, we have missed you dearly. And I don't know if we're just lazy or...
Yesterday was our son's 17th birthday.
Yeah, we've had a lot going on. I'm sorry. We're sorry. We've had a lot going on. We had flooding in the house again. It's just been crazy. So like that season last summer when Aaron's engine went out in his car and it was like 3 months. Of constant work on the car. It's just, so. Yep. But you know what? I would put this out to our listeners. If you love us so much, I mean, I would love to do this every day, but we would need like the financial support to do that. So if it's going to be like that, the Chosen.
You want to do
right?
this
It's going to be
day.
Crowdfunded. If the crowd wants to fund the podcast, I'm all for it. I would do one. I'd do two of them every day.
I would. I'd
love it. So anyway. Well, welcome back and hope you are having an excellent 2024. And we wanted to just share with you today what we had talked about at our home church this morning. It was very appropriate word for today.
It was.
I guess, even though it took place very much BC in the Bible, we're going to be working out of 1 Samuel chapter 8 today. But it really just kind of checks our heart and where we are with the Lord and how much of the Lord we really want in our lives. So why don't we go ahead and get started here?
Okay.
In 1 Samuel chapter 8. What do you think? Should I just go ahead
just
and read
it, Greg.
Read the whole thing?
Yep.
How many verses are there?
I don't know.
22.
Yeah, not that many. It didn't take that long.
Yeah, it's not that long of a chapter, and so just sit back and listen.
I listened to the whole thing when you read it the first time.
I'll hang on here just for a second. Go ahead, Kel. Yeah.
I said I read it. I listened to the whole time. My mind didn't wander anywhere, so it isn't that long.
Back to you, Greg.
That was your turn, yeah. Just a side note.
Okay. All right, well, let's dive right in here. 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting verse 1, says, "When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice." Does that sound familiar? If you look at the political system today, not just in the United States, but everywhere across the world, is there anything that's perverted? And
not at all.
No, I didn't think so.
No.
I'm glad all that stuff's over. All right, verse 4. "So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, 'You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have.'" So basically, they weren't happy with Samuel's sons, which rightly so. If they were perverted and doing things they shouldn't have been.
And poor Samuel, he was old.
Yeah, poor guy.
They're ready to get rid of him now. You're old.
We're old. Verse 6, "But when they said, 'Give us a king to lead us,' this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, 'Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." So they're going to get what they're asking for. But you better know there's going to be extras
right.
that come along with this. Not always good extras.
I was just listening to, when you were talking about that, I was thinking about Samuel, and I was thinking the poor guy, you know, he was a good man. He was a man, you know, he followed God, but his sons didn't.
Yeah.
They were bad. And, but God still honored Samuel. You know, Samuel still went to God, and God still talked to Samuel, and there was still that relationship. You know, you can't lose that relationship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I just, if you're raising kids that aren't serving the Lord, you know, you raise them the way you're supposed to, and then they go out on their own and they do their thing, and you're not responsible for their adulthood, their choices. It affects you, but you're not sure. responsible for it.
Yeah, it breaks your heart if you're not serving the Lord the way they should.
Right, and Samuel, I mean, he was upset. The people he was taking it personally, and God's like, don't take it personally. It's not you, me, and that's not you, it's me that they're mad
right.
about. They don't want me. It has nothing to do with you, so.
Yeah. All right, verse 10. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, this is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. All right. So here's what he's going to do. I want to pay close attention to this now.
Okay.
He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to the commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. So there is Samuel listing out all of the things that the king is going to do when he's over this people, Israel. So I wanted us to notice a pattern there. Samuel is telling the Israelites that this king that they want is going to take and take and take and take and take all of these things that are precious to the Israelites, your sons and your daughters. And he's going to come after your vineyards and everything that you've been growing on your own. He's going to come in and take a portion of that for himself.
All the blessings that the king, the Lord, has given you, the king of flesh is going to come and
That's
take.
Right. Exactly right. Verse 19, but the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. Mm-hmm. So I'll pause right there. So basically, Israel wanted to look like the rest of the world.
Right.
Because all the other, their enemies, they had a king, they had somebody that they could answer to. The Israelites wanted that same thing. I don't know why they thought the Lord wasn't good enough. I mean, he defeated the Egyptians. He parted the sea. He rescued the Israelites from 400 years of slavery. He brought them into the promised land. He was doing all these things, but yet they wanted a king in the flesh, like you said,
right.
over them. Verse 21, when Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Then Samuel said to the Israelites, everyone go back to your own town. So the Israelites are basically saying, thanks, God, but no thanks. We want somebody else to rule and reign over us. We want to look like the rest of the world because they have somebody that rules and reigns over them. And like we discussed earlier today during our service here at home, it's easier to probably follow somebody that's physical person who has his list of laws and decrees and edicts that you are supposed to follow.
Well, and I think they probably thought too that it would be less of a requirement that God required too much from them. He wants everything. And if we have a king, then, you know, we'll be, maybe they thought they were going to have more freedom, or they were going to be able to do more, or, you know,
they thought that.
They look at the other countries and they think, well, they don't have to do this, and they don't have to, they get to do whatever they want to. Is, you know what I'm saying? Like, you sometimes the grass is always greener.
You ever see, like, when you fill out an application for a credit card or a loan or whatever, and it's got the terms of agreement?
Oh.
And it's like pages. 10, 12 pages
teeny,
long.
Teeny, tiny print.
And all this is going to happen. If you don't do this, then this is going to happen. If you do this, this, and it's just, it's all put together by lawyers and everything. And basically, people will go, oh, I still want it. I'm still signing up for that. You know, it's 50% interest if you're late on your bill. And I still want it anyway, because they want the immediate satisfaction of having that right then and there. And that's basically what is going on here. Give us a king. Samuel says, look, he's going to take all this stuff from me. We don't care.
Right.
We want a king anyway. So how does that come home to us today as Christians? I mean, is there something in our life that we want to put in place of God? Or in between us and God? Would we rather go to a man rather than right to God the Father? I mean, he's a jealous God. He's jealous for us. He sent his son to die for us on the cross. And anything that comes between that hinders our relationship with Christ.
Sometimes you look at other people and you see their life and you think what they have would be better than what I have.
Like the grass is greener on the other side.
Right. Like you when you don't realize, you know, because you do that. I mean, you do that all the time. You see, and I just think about Facebook, you know, people, they only saw the good side of it. They didn't see what was going on in the actual, if you're looking at a king and you see, oh, they have a king and look, these people are doing this and these people are doing that. And so they think, oh, we want that. You know, mm-hmm. It would be so much easier if we just had somebody to tell us, how do we know? Why do we have to keep going to the temple? You know, is all this stuff in their minds. And the truth is, if they would have, they didn't understand what they were, you know, Samuel tried to tell them and they just didn't accept it. They really wanted what the other countries have. And I think that can be said even in our country.
Yeah, absolutely.
We look at other things like, well, we won't, they have. And I think, too, you forget how many generations had it been since they came out of the Egypt. You know, how
well, even to
were
the
they?
Point of Samuel's sons were, you know, crooked and perverse, and they weren't following the ways of the Lord. They were taking bribes, you know, whatever. And if you read ahead, because like, I told our group this morning, I said, I'm actually a lot further ahead in Samuel than chapter 8. As soon as Saul started to reign, I mean, he started messing up right away.
Well, they had a perfect king. They had perfection, God. Anything else under that, I mean, they didn't see that. And how many times do we do that in our own lives? You know, God gives us a perfect route to take. He gives us the right way to go. And yet we still choose something else because it looks better.
Yeah. Well,
it sounds better.
And right after, like I was
feels
saying,
better.
Right after Saul started his kingship, he messed up. He sacrificed to the Lord, and he wasn't supposed to do that. He took advantage of his power, right? He let
his
power.
Position.
Yeah. He let it go to his head. Samuel had to rebuke him. And then he gave him a word for the Lord. That God was going to go after somebody that was after his own heart.
Right.
And that was already, you know, forethought in God's eyes, you know, which King David is following King Saul. But anyway, so just that whole thing of, the spiritual lesson in all this is to make sure that we're not asking the Lord to give us another king, one that we think will satisfy us in a better way. Other than Jesus Christ himself,
that's
he was
good.
The perfect sacrifice. It doesn't, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't get any better than that. There is no, I don't have a better story. You know, I don't, that there's nothing, there's no other way of salvation than through Christ. I mean, that was God's plan. That was God's whole purpose in the gospel, was to send his son to die for our sins so that we can spend eternity with him. How dare I put anything else, whether whatever it is, between me and the Lord, you know, but I do. I'm a fleshly, sinful person, and I have to check myself all the time. And the Lord will check me like, hey, wake up. Look, you got something going on here that you shouldn't have.
Right.
You've got something in the way, you know, blocking communication, blocking our relationship. You know, just like us as a married couple, We don't want anything to get in between you and I in our marriage. We're married to Christ. We don't want anything to get in between, mess that thing up. So anyway, so I just
that's
thought
good.
That's what I got, man.
Great message, Greg.
Hey, whatever. Short and sweet.
It was good.
I figured it was a
appropriate.
I figured it was a good way to start off 2024 in February.
Be careful what you're putting. It's never too late to start.
That's right. We could start over all the time. Thank goodness for that.
I know.
So, thank the Lord. Well, we love you guys, and we look forward to doing more podcasts in 2024. We love you, and we will talk to you next time.